Thank you. Thank you all very much. A nice welcome and a nice crowd, and it makes me feel good. And I look out across here, and I remember when there was all those people older than me that had gray hair at these Republican gatherings. And now I see a whole lot of young people coming in here. They are the future and the energy and the inspiration for our party, our state, and our country. Some cynic said it was just because I'm getting older that people look younger. I don't believe that. I feel younger every day. And we're out there taking this on all the time. When I was listening to David's introduction, which I very much appreciate, and I was thinking that, you know, there are some people that like to define me somewhere in a pigeonhole over here. And I tell them, I'm a full-spectrum constitutional conservative, and whatever they might allege about where I might be on this continuum of politics in the middle, you know, my opponent's way off over here to the left of San Francisco. And where am I? The press asked me the other day, and I said, well, in a common sense world, I'm dead center, right where we all ought to be. We ought to be standing on the Constitution. We should be standing on free enterprise. We should be standing on faith and freedom and all of that personal responsibility. We ought to be making this state and this country a better place with every waking moment, and we ought to go to bed tonight thanking God that he let us give it a try today and wake up tomorrow and ask him if he will grant us the measure of his wisdom for tomorrow, that we can go out and serve again and again and again. If we all do that, if we all do that every day, this country gets so strong, our families are so strong, they are so well grounded, that in the end, nothing could defeat us. But what we're dealing with is a very determined leftist organization. They have been going after and trying to chisel the beautiful marble pillars of American exceptionalism out from underneath Ronald Reagan's shining city on a hill from well before he articulated that shining city. For over 100 years, they have been pounding away at Western civilization, the core of our civilization, the core of American civilization. And what do they want to put in its place? Well, they really don't know. I mean, they would tear that shining city down and turn it into rubble, and they don't know what it would look like. They don't know what they would rebuild on top of it. I've got an idea for that. A few of them might know, but a whole lot of them are just followers that think somehow their power base is over there on the left. And I've watched it happen. They get elected to the legislature, and here's my theory. Now, when I tell you it's not really a theory, this is what I believe to be true, and if you want to challenge me, let's talk later, okay? But if you have identical twins that would be born in all identical ways, raised with identical experience, and let's say that they had an identical education, and they found identical twins to marry, and they started a business together and built identical houses on opposite sides of the street, and then they each decided they'd run for Congress. One is a Democrat and one is a Republican, because on one district it was the Democrats in majority, the other district and the other side of the street it was Republicans. And they go off to Congress, or they go off to the State House, the State Senate, or the State, and then they start putting up votes. And that person that's elected to be over on that side of Nancy Pelosi decides they've got to get along with Nancy Pelosi. And vote after vote, leverage after leverage, election after election, they move off over there to the left, and they get that organization polarized. They moved in directions opposite from each other, identical twins, identical ideology. I'll tell you, that has happened over and over again in the legislature. I've seen it happen. And it's happened with some people that are going to lose in this election because they get too far away from the American people. When you migrate towards San Francisco leftism, and then you come to Iowa and you say, I'm the person for you. I want to, going around Iowa and asking this question, as Christy Vilsack did, what are Iowa values? I mean, she's on tape asking the question, what are Iowa values? Alarming, isn't it? And how can you be the first lady of the state of Iowa and not know? And if you didn't know, why would you ask? And so 2.5 years ago, she sent the message, went back through the back channel of the network of Democrats that said, came back to me, wherever redistricting puts Steve King, I will move there to run against him, Christy Vilsack. Huh. A year ago, last weekend, there was a Jefferson Jackson Day dinner here in Des Moines. And in that dinner, Christy Vilsack talked about being a candidate against me. Tom Vilsack said, it will be a holy war. The press came and asked me what I think of that, and I said, well, I will learn things about myself that I don't yet know. And they will spend $5 to $10 million attacking my reputation. All of that's true today. And yet, when we ask the question out in the polls, who do you believe? It comes back consistently 2-1, they believe me over her. Because for 10 years in this Congress and another 6 years in the Senate, I just, you know, I haven't had enough sense to do anything but tell you the truth. And and this race has been an amazing movement. I am so impressed with the effort that's come up all across the state and in different places in the country, and it has been phenomenal. And I know that she said in one of the debates that they had 10,000 individual donors and they'd raised X amount of dollars out of Iowa. And I could say honestly, watching her numbers and ours, that for every donor she had from Iowa, we had two. For every dollar she raised from Iowa, we'd raise two. That's the kind of network you are out there. And it is a powerful thing to see that all happen. And all those signs across northern Iowa, we have we set together a campaign plan a year ago last Easter, actually Good Friday. And we figured out how much money we needed to run the media campaign. We figured out how many signs we were going to put up. The organization, we laid it all out. And there was homework done before we sat down at that meeting. But now, from a year and a half later, we only changed really two major things. One of them was we moved our television buy up by a week because the super PACs were attacking us and we had to respond. That wasn't our plan, but we did that. The other one was we planned to have 500 barn signs out, 4x8 barn signs. That was a gross error in the number of barn signs we would get up. We had to order another 250, and the sign king is over here, Jacob Johnson. He put up, I don't know how many of them, a whole bunch of them. But there are roughly 750 barn signs, 4x8 signs up around this district. I don't think anybody's ever done that before. So what's at stake? Steve Scheffler offered a wonderful prayer, and I think it was moving to all of us. And I sure appreciate that. And in that prayer, he prayed for our leaders. Now, I just wanted to relate an anecdote that got me a little off a track on focusing, because I remember in the Republican conference, one of our members, I'll leave him unnamed, he's from Texas, he's a World War II veteran, you can figure it out. But he stepped up to offer the prayer, and he said, you know, the Bible directs us to pray for our leaders. And so before I offer this prayer, I want to tell you that I do pray for our leaders, and I pray for Barack Obama. I have a feeling God rolls his eyes, but I do pray for Barack Obama. That was our member from Texas. And so that's a level I'm working on. I'm going to suspend that effort, I think, until after the election. I'm a little busy. I'm going to work on that part of my spirituality on the 7th of November and beyond. It's a little distracting when you're trying to do that and the television ads are pounding over your head the way they are, $5 to $10 million. But here's where we are and here's where we're going. We have a destiny election. America's is under siege from the left. Every value that we hold dear is under assault from the people on the other side. The value of life is under assault. They think it should be abortion on demand. We think life begins at the moment of conception and every human life is sacred in all of its forms. That's one. We support marriage between a man and a woman for all the reasons that we know. That's two. They have pushed us into a national debt that has gone from 7 2/3. Let's see, I get that number right. It was 8 2/3. 8 2/3 trillion dollars when Nancy Pelosi took the speaker's gavel, and then 2 years later she teamed up with Barack Obama, and now we have 7 1/3 trillion dollars added to that debt. And they don't even posture themselves like they're going to restrain spending or slow this growth in debt. Not at all. There's not even a pretense. And so the difference is they will float us off the fiscal waterfall into the situation like Greece without any reservations whatsoever, because they believe that they will get power in the chaos that would ensue from an American economic collapse. That's why. They're about power. We want to pull this thing back and pass a balanced budget amendment to the United States Constitution and bring this thing under control now. And I believe the number one plank in the Romney-Ryan platform is the full 100% repeal of Obamacare. Rip it out by the roots. And I'm really serious about this. I spent the last 2 years or so pounding away on that to try to raise that plank up, saw it out of the log, hew it a little bit, plane it, sand it, poke some holes in it, bolt it to the platform, hold it there all I can, engrave in there with that Obamacare, repeal Obamacare, repeal Obamacare. And I probably nobody in this room that has walked in here and never heard me say that till tonight. You've all heard me say that. But I had the first draft to repeal Obamacare. I wrote it in the middle of the night. I slept about 2.5 hours and got up and wrote that draft request. And I've traveled all over pounding away. Rip it out by the roots so there's not one particle of DNA of the Obamacare left behind. It has become a malignant tumor, and it's metastasizing on American liberty, and it's got to go. And we can throw it out in January or February of next year with Mitt Romney as president, Paul Ryan as vice president, a majority in the Senate. And you know, I am enthusiastic about this campaign. I'm not only my own campaign. Yes, I'm enthusiastic about that. I'm enthusiastic about watching Tom Latham beat Leonard Boswell. I'm enthusiastic about our candidates in the East, Ben Lang and John Archer. I'm enthusiastic about the job that Governor Branstad has done, taking the helm of this Republican Party in this state and focused on how you put all the pieces back together and make them all work together. I'm enthusiastic about that. I'm enthusiastic about this team that we're expanding here, Mr. Chairman, and it's going to get better and better with this. We're going to lay out a legacy here in Iowa. Now, we are the first in the nation caucus here. We have fought through these battles for a long time. I guess we have to thank Jimmy Carter for that. I know. That's a time to be thankful for one of our former leaders, that he helped Iowa be a national leader in the way that he did. We need to hold that together to be first in the nation caucus. I told Rick Santorum the other night that if that happens, and I have every intention of doing all I can to hold it together, we'll have to thank Rick Santorum for going to 99 counties and doing what he did to earn this. That makes a big difference. And yet, I want to see Iowa continue to be the epicenter of politics in the country. And we are also in a pivotal state. When you look at Governor McDonald's going to talk to us about a number of these things, I looked across the country and I've been watching the swing states. And I watch Florida and North Carolina and I watch Virginia and Ohio. And then I think if they run the table right up the East Coast that way and come over and grab Ohio, who's that put in the bubble? Iowa. How do you like the heat? How do you like the idea that you get to decide perhaps the next president of the United States? How do you like the idea that the pressure's on? I like it when the pressure's on. I like that fourth quarter with a minute left. I like the two-minute drill. I like being at the free throw line with no time left on the clock. I like it when you succeed or fail, live or die on your own effort, your own focus, your own moxie, your own brain power, your own depth of convictions, and your own work ethic. That's what I want to see in this state. Anywhere you go in the country or the world, if you say you're from Iowa, they look at you and think, there's somebody that works hard, works smart, gets the job done that we can trust. And we like to set that standard. We know it's a good standard all over the upper Midwest, and it washes over into all of Wisconsin, I want to say, while I have that chance to do that. And I see it down in Virginia as well, Governor. But I'm putting out this challenge. We've got to rise to this. Florida's going to get the job done. North Carolina's going to get the job done. I know Virginia's going to get the job done. The heat's already been put on us here tonight, and you'll hear more. Ohio, I believe, will get the job done. That means Iowa. Iowa, Iowa. Let's stand up and do this. Let's not look back. Let's not think on Wednesday morning, coulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda knocked another door, coulda made another phone call, coulda found another buck, coulda found another neighbor to go to the polls. Let's do all of that as if our very lives depend on it, because the future and the destiny of the United States does depend on our effort this time. Only a few days left. Let's give it a go. Let's be proud of what we accomplish. And let's turn this destiny of America in the right direction. Thank you very much. God bless you tonight.